Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Retro Rankings Podcast, brought to you by Potation Rotation. I am your host, Paul, and before we get started, I just want to quickly throw some things out there. There's going to be some subtlety to like the changes of this podcast kind of going forward, as there has been maybe the last couple episodes as well. I'm part of a podcasting roundtable, and one of the things that we do is we listen to other podcasts that are outside of our genre, and then we get together. Well, we don't really get together per se. It's kind of like a message board type thing, and we kind of talk about things, talk about each other's podcasts and stuff like that, kind of give constructive criticism and stuff. And so I guess one of the things that it's kind of funny, because it's a thing that happens a lot in the video gaming podcast world, is especially on shows with two hosts, I guess hosts of podcasts that don't understand video game podcasts don't like the back and forth banter that starts out in an episode, and you're like 15, 20 minutes in and you still haven't gotten to the topic at hand. I guess I'm used to that. And so I kind of adapted that into mine, but only where I'm kind of giving updates about myself, what I'm playing, blah, 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 and stuff like that. So I'm just throwing that out there, kind of calling out some of these people, because I didn't say anything on the board, but that's kind of like how it is. It's kind of like ingrained into our culture that in the entertainment world, you kind of build up to what you're actually getting to. Think about talk shows, the history of talk shows with monologues and speaking with the band leader or your co-host. Think about variety shows where, you know, the host would come out on stage and they would kind of warm up the audience and talk back and forth and blah, 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 before you get to the sketches. Saturday Night Live does that with their opening right now. Like, it's shit that we do. You know, you watch the news and you want to get news updates, and, you know, you want to get your sports and your weather, and maybe you heard about something and you want more information about it, but there's usually buildup. Like, you don't usually get those things right out of the gate, you know, especially the weather. That's why they save the weather to the end. Everybody wants to know what the weather is, right? But you don't get that until like the last 5 minutes of the broadcast. But so you never get what you want right up front. So I'm just throwing that out there. But I am going to scale that back a little bit. We're going to see how it goes. I'm going to try to make things a little bit more nice and tight. And that's kind of going to start with this episode. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is the Good for Nothing podcast, the second podcast that we're doing, Potation Rotation is doing, with myself and TJ. That's going to be kind of tied to the PMG project on YouTube, the new channel as well. And I just had a dog enter the room because I never closed the door. And now he's leaving. He's like, fuck this shit. I don't want to listen to my dad talk. So anyway, yes, the Good for Nothing podcast had some delays getting the episode out. I wanted one episode a month, just 12 episodes a year. And mid-month, unfortunately, there was COVID in the house. TJ got COVID. TJ's been having some computer issues as well, but we finally got an episode in the can. It's going to be out hopefully by the end of this month. I still have to actually edit it. It was recorded a few days before this episode. I like to try to get the Retro Rankings episodes done within like 5 days of them coming out, so that it's as recent. Here he is jangling his collar. Hey, Nico, can you come here, Nico? Where are you? I'm gonna take your collar off. There you go. Relax. Be free. Roam the wilds. There we go. Good boy. Okay, so anyway, so I try to record these Retro Rankings episodes within about 5 days of them airing, because I want them to be recent. So I recorded the Good for Nothing podcast about 3 days ago from this recording, And it ended up talking about, we ended up talking about COVID for a while and how eventually it's going to catch up with me. Even though I'm even, you know, like fully vaxxed and boosted, like this Omicron doesn't give a shit about anybody. And as of this recording, it caught up with me. So I am actually working my tail off today, tomorrow, getting content in, and I've got COVID. Luckily for me, it isn't too bad. I had a weird, I thought it was like an allergic reaction. That's the thing is I'm asymptomatic. I didn't even know I had COVID. I had to get a test. The only reason I got a test because somebody else in the house had COVID and I was going to get a test so I can go back to work. And now I can't go back to work for 5 days. But I felt like no worse. You know, I usually have a cough and an itchy throat. You know, I was already really sick. And it wasn't COVID. I was sick for like 3 days, pretty bad. And you can hear about that when the Good for Nothing podcast episode drops shortly. But yeah, so here I am with COVID, and I was going out and I was having dinner and stuff. And I feel like really bad about that, that I went out and I was doing things and my car was in the shop. So I was in a loaner car and I, you know, got my COVID probably on in that car. Hopefully they did a deep clean after I dropped it off or something. But yeah, it sucks. So and now I have to also be in the house for 5 days. So, well, maybe four at this point. But anyway, yeah, that's it. So I just wanted to throw that out there because you guys are going to hear this first. And then if you do, if you are gracious enough to give the Good for Nothing podcast, the first episode of that, a try, you're going to hear me talk like I never had COVID. So it's kind of flippity floppity, but you know what? That's enough talking about that real quick. What am I playing as far as video games go? This episode, this Sonic the Hedgehog related episode, I decided that the next episode is still going to be Sega related and it's going to be, I'm going to get a little bit more into it later, but it's going to be about the Sega Genesis. And so I'm kind of dabbling in some Sega Genesis games right now, kind of retro, nothing new, not really playing anything new right now. It's completely retro. And another reason for this episode is if you watch the YouTube channel, I stated when I did a review for the Sonic Encyclopedia on the Fuser channel, the Fuser channel's first episode, I said I was going to kind of try to pack in Sonic's anniversary for the remainder of, well, remainder of this year, at least until possibly Frontiers comes out. So I'm kind of celebrating Sonic this year because I didn't do it last year. I did Zelda last year. And so I'm doing Sonic now. So that's the reason for this episode as well. But let's get right into this episode today. This is the top 7 Sonic the Hedgehog games, according to me. That's all you're getting. This episode is just one song for the entire episode. It's the same series, and except for the latter games or the 3D games where the music's a little bit more bold and orchestrated and out there, I just felt like overall the Sonic songs, the Sonic themes, the music kind of all sounds similar. So you just get the main Sonic theme, but let's get into number 7. Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic the Hedgehog is a 2D platform video game developed by Sonic Team and published by Sega for the Sega Mega Drive. Featuring Sega's then new mascot, the titular Sonic the Hedgehog, the game served as a launch title for the now infamous video game franchise. The game was originally released for the Sega Mega Drive in Europe and the Genesis in North America in June 1991, with a Japanese Mega Drive release following a month later. Advertising its fast gameplay based on Sonic's extraordinary speed, the concept of a high-speed platform game was unique for its time and solidified the style of gameplay the series would be best known for. Due to the system's Motorola 68000 processor, woo boy, the power of the console would allow for faster gameplay, dubbed by some as blast processing, I put that in air quotes, and impressive 16-bit graphics, making it much more powerful than Sega's preceding Master System. The only playable character here is Sonic the Hedgehog. The main goal of the game is to get through a series of acts, four different zones in less than 10 minutes. When passing through each act, the player will be contending with different types of enemies called badniks and various terrains that have different gimmicks and obstacles along them. The level designs all vary, each with different types of gimmicks and layouts that may differ between zones. Along the way, the player can earn points by collecting items and defeating badniks. In order to conclude the first two acts of a zone, the player has to pass a goal plate at the end of said acts. To complete the final act of most zones, on the other hand, the player typically has to open a capsule at the end of the act, after a boss fight, and also, upon completing an act, the player's overall score will be tallied, with bonus points being granted based on their performance. Aside from that, the player can also collect Chaos Emeralds, which are earned by completing the different special stages. Collecting all six emeralds and completing the final zone will unlock the game's good cinematic ending. And I mean, what else is there really to say about Sonic the Hedgehog? Everyone knows this game. Everyone should know this game. It is the OG platformer that introduced fast-paced, side-scrolling action that still leaves Mario in the dust to this very day. Well, sans Mario Kart, I suppose. The graphics, right down to the pixel, were clean and crisp, and a running Sonic had no negative impact on said graphics. The controls are basic, tight, and responsive. The soundtrack is now a classic as well. It was a game changer. It was a game changer, and one of the better looking games from my childhood for sure. At the time, it was pure anxiety to speed around like that and worry about falling into some pit or landing on some spikes somewhere. Unless you were stopping to find secrets, you just went for it. Not much to shit on here, or really any of the Sonic entries in today's episode, but this is just a gem of a retro gaming classic, Sonic the Hedgehog, number 7 on today's list.
6.
Sonic Adventure 2 comes in at number 6, and is the sequel to Sonic Adventure. It was developed to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Sonic series. Wow, it's been that long already since Sonic Adventure 2 came out. Jesus Christ. It was originally released in June of 2001. In Japan, it also came with a limited-time birthday pack during the first 2 days of release. The game introduces two new playable characters, Shadow the Hedgehog and Rogue the Bat, who would go on to become two of the more recurring characters in the Sonic series. Gameplay takes place between two different points of view storylines, the hero story and the dark story. The player has the option of advancing in either one of those at any time. The player controls Sonic, Knuckles, Tails in the hero side of the story, while they play as Shadow, Rogue, and Dr. Eggman in the dark storyline, though they all play similarly to their opposite counterparts. The game is divided into a series of stages where the player controls one of the aforementioned characters, depending upon which side they are a part of. Interspersed between the levels are various bosses, which one particular character must fight. Levels advance in order for each storyline, and the main storyline can only be finished when both hero and dark story modes are finished. And the extra story feature is revealed, where the player must use all the characters to beat it. The game contains character-specific gameplay stages, such as high-speed stages for Sonic and Shadow, lock-on shooting stages for Tails and Eggman, and hunting stages for Knuckles and Rogue. Before giving my thoughts on Sonic Adventure 2, I have to talk about the prior entry so you can understand why 2, in my opinion, is better than Sonic Adventure 1. Sonic Adventure was the first Sonic game that really truly felt like it was a 3D game. It was fast and fresh with graphics that popped and interesting multi-storylines with the multiple characters. The soundtrack was also on point. It had some frame rate issues, and I personally hate fishing in video games. I'm looking at you big. But Sonic Adventure is right up there as one of the best 3D action platforming games of all time. But 2 is just simply better. So take everything I said and add the additional story mechanics and the aforementioned modes, depending upon your character. It's a nice little twist over the original that offers parallel perspectives. And perhaps most notable, however, is the revamped version of the KO Garden from Sonic Adventure. Way before Ooblets, the blue hedgehog was harvesting and watching KO creatures hatch, each with their own alignment towards either hero or dark directions. They all have 5 stat attributes that can evolve over time, but also die and reincarnate for some reason. I don't know. And take part in karate and racing minigames. It's a huge and rather unreasonable mechanic, but it still works all the same. The game also suffered from frame rate issues as well. The camera. The camera can be wonky in both games as well. Sometimes that's expected for games like this back then. The music in 2 slaps here as well. Overall, one of the best Sonic 3D platformers yet. Until Frontiers, maybe? Crossing my fingers. Anyway, Sonic Adventure 2 comes in at number 6.
5.
Sonic and Knuckles. This could be a complicated one to talk about here, but I'll abridge it. Sonic & Knuckles is a platform game in the Sonic the Hedgehog series and serves as a sequel to Sonic 3. It was developed by American studio Sega Technical Institute in collaboration with Sonic Team. It was also published by Sega for the Sega Mega Drive and Genesis in October 1994. It serves as the continuation to Sonic 3, as I said, and it features a unique lock-on technology, which enables other cartridges to be plugged in via the socket on the top of it. Players can control either Sonic the Hedgehog or Knuckles the Echidna by selecting either of them on the title screen. Both characters can perform basic actions such as running and jumping. However, both have unique abilities that differ from each other. Sonic retains his insta-shield from Sonic the Hedgehog 3, while Knuckles runs slower and jumps less, though he's able to glide and climb walls. Each character has their own story within the game as well. The main goal of Sonic and Knuckles is to pass a series of acts in less than 10 minutes. In these acts, the player can find rings, which basically work as the player character's life source. When hit while having at least one ring, the player character will remain alive at the cost of losing all rings, something that is obviously standard in Sonic the Hedgehog games. However, if the player gets hit without having any rings, they'll lose a life or get a game over, and they don't have any lives left. That's it. You're done. 4 words. Super Sonic. Super Knuckles. More on that later. When this game came out, it dropped right around the same time as Donkey Kong Country on the rival Super Nintendo. One can clearly see that both Nintendo and Sega were tossing out what they deemed to be, at the time, technological marvels in home video gaming. The only difference is that DKC wasn't really gimmicky. I'll touch on the gimmicky shit in a bit. That aside, Sonic & Knuckles still provides a solid gaming experience. It's everything good about Sonic 3 and gives its own separate gaming experience, though it still feels the same. Speaking of Sonic 3, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, or simply Sonic 3, is a platform video game in the Sonic the Hedgehog series developed by Sonic Team and published by Sega. The continuation, Sonic and Knuckles, was released later in the same year, which picks up the story directly after the end of Sonic the Hedgehog 3. As stated with my speaking on Sonic and Knuckles, lock-on technology allows people to play Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Sonic and Knuckles as the combined Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles. And the two are actually 2 parts of the same game. This marks the first appearance of Knuckles, and originally Sonic 3 was meant to contain all of the levels that Sonic and Knuckles had, but the game just could not be finished in time, so it was split into 2. The game was released in Japan for the Sega Mega Drive in May 1994. The European release was in February 1994, and the game was also released for the Genesis in the United States, also in February 1994. Players can control either Sonic or Tails. They can play as Sonic while Tails is controlled by another player or an AI. Both of these characters can run and jump as their basic abilities. The goal of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 is to beat a series of acts in less than 10 minutes. In these acts, the player can find many rings, which serves as the character's method of protection. Rinse and repeat. Collecting Chaos Emeralds. If the player has not collected the 7 Chaos Emeralds, the post-credit scene will show something. You basically get laughed at. And they'll tell you to try again. So if you do try again and you manage to collect all 7 Chaos Emeralds, it'll show something else. Basically, you're not going to get laughed at. Oh, also, 2 words. Supersonic. Still, more on that later. The only reason why this is where it's at on my list, and some may argue 3 is better than 2, is that it was too gimmicky with the add-on, in my opinion. Given that thought and Sonic & Knuckles coming at 5, I think you may know where this list is headed. I would think if they couldn't fit all that content into one title and thus creating the Sonic & Knuckles add-on gimmick, they could have released a Sonic 3 Part 1 and a Sonic 3 Part 2 and completely omitted the whole lock-on technology thing, or maybe even Sonic 3 and then just call Sonic & Knuckles Sonic 4, you know, Sonic 3 and Sonic 4, respectively. I don't know. It doesn't really matter much in any of those scenarios, but the gimmick would have been gone. And although we wouldn't have been able to have Knuckles in Sonic 2, I mean, is that really like that big of a deal, you know? And then slapping on any other game, Sonic 1, or any other game that was somewhat compatible with the Sonic & Knuckles cartridge, you get the blue sphere thing going on. Anyway, yeah, so see what I mean? I mean, overall, it's a solid entry. The level design was cranked up, featuring bottomless pits, spikes, breakable walls, the iconic vertical loops. Tails could now breathe underwater and spin his tails like a helicopter to maintain momentum in midair. And how about that Michael Jackson soundtrack? Did you guys know that? Yes, the Michael Jackson soundtrack. Not much more to say here on this one. Sonic 3, number 4 today. All right, we're moving just about as fast as Sonic does right through this episode. I am going to be, as you can probably hear, I'm going to be inserting a cough drop into my mouth hole. Lately, even before I had COVID, when I was really sick for a couple days, some lingering symptom of when I talk, I actually have like a raspy feeling in my throat, which is fine, but then the more I talk, it starts hurting. So you might hear me sucking on a cough drop. I don't give a shit. But let's move right along here. Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Sonic 2 is a platform game developed by Sonic Team in collaboration with Sega Technical Institute and published by Sega for the Sega Mega Drive. It was released in Japan in 1992 and North America and Europe in November 1992 as well. The game plays similar to the first, and this time it introduces Miles Tails per hour. The player can play as either Sonic or Tails or both. They can also play as Sonic while Tails is controlled by a second player or AI, as we see later, but I've talked about prior. Both characters share the same abilities. The game has 11 zones, most of which are divided into 2 acts. As with everything else that I've already spoken about in the 2D platforming games, the main objective is to finish its acts in less than 10 minutes. You can find rings, rinse and repeat. I mean, you know, if it works, why change it, right? Oh, in 2 words, supersonic. Okay, I'm gonna finally get to it here. And I'm finally getting into it here because this is where Supersonic was born, Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Yes, now it's later. Obtaining all 7 Chaos Emeralds by clearing all of the special stages will unlock Supersonic. Then, when Sonic has collected at least 50 rings and jumps into the air, he will transform into Supersonic. In this state, Sonic is virtually invincible, although he can still die by drowning and getting crushed and falling into pits and time running out. His speed, acceleration, and jump height are all increased as well. However, his spin dash attack is decreased in effectiveness as the initial velocity is decreased rapidly. Supersonic consumes 1 ring per second. When he has no rings left or reaches the end of an act, he reverts back to his normal state. Insert the same rules as they apply to Knuckles as well in Sonic and Knuckles. This is a faithful follow-up to the original without going overboard on mechanics or reinventing the wheel, and the minute changes within hold up well. Introducing a character choice in co-op is something not even a Mario game had pulled off at that time. And Supersonic. Turning on that gold-flashing hovering hedgehog was a fucking blast. Made you feel like you pulled something unique off, collecting all those Chaos Emeralds. It was like taking Marl's invincible star power and injecting pure, unadulterated heroin into the arm. Sonic is also faster and can spin dash, charging up like a car's wheel to boost against an enemy or reveal a hidden secret behind a fragile wall. The 3D running sequences also provided a glimpse of what was to come in the following years. And Tails quickly became the second emblem of the series. It's a nice, clean title, and is one where we can say that the second is better than the first. Sonic 2, number 3 on my list today.
2.
Sonic the Hedgehog CD. Sonic the Hedgehog CD, more commonly just known as Sonic CD, is a 2D platformer game in the Sonic series, developed by Sonic Team and published by Sega. It marked the first official appearance of both Metal Sonic and Amy Rose. It was released for the Sega Mega CD in Japan in September of 1993, in Europe in October of 1993, and for the Sega CD in North America in November 1993. The game plays similarly to all the other 2D platforming Sonic the Hedgehog games. It is split into 7 levels known as rounds, each divided into 3 playable acts called zones. The playable character here is Sonic, whose most basic actions involve running and jumping. He can also perform the spin dash and super peel out. The main goal of Sonic the Hedgehog CD is to beat each of the zones in each round in the game, with the third one of each round being a boss fight. In less than, spoiler alert, 10 minutes. The zones are designed so that they branch in numerous different paths, offering the player more secrets to find. To finish the first 2 zones, a goal plate has to be spun, and the third ones, on the other hand, require that a capsule is destroyed. The secondary objective of Sonic CD is to gather the 7 time stones by completing special stages. To enter a special stage, the player must collect at least 50 rings in any of the first 2 zones of a round, and then enter the giant ring at the end of them. Collecting all 7 time stones will automatically ensure a good future in every time zone of the game. Special, huh? Well, for me, I'll tell you what was special. The feeling when this title was coming out was just as much excitement behind it for me as Mario going 16-bit in Super Mario World. I was excited to get a Sonic game on a compact disc for smoother, faster, better-looking everything. They kind of bump up from the prior Sonic titles. This sort of held true. It was definitely a step up, but wasn't that mind-blowing visually when I finally played it. It was still impressive, was it? Well, with Sonic being able to time travel, yes. The answer is yes. This is what makes it better in the early entries with this interesting mechanic. Areas can be altered by going to the past and changing the future. If done correctly, this causes enemies to disappear from levels, and everything gets displayed in brighter colors. There are also good and bad endings, depending upon whether you collect all the time stones. Probably a little overboard from what you're used to in a classic Sonic 2D platformer, but still a welcome addition in keeping the OG idea from going stale. It controls nice, graphics and animated cartoons are pretty slick, and it's just one of the series' best entries and a top game on the Sega CD. Sonic CD comes in at number 2. All right, so we reached number 1 already. Like, this is a pretty rapid episode. This is a speedy Sonic episode. This is going by like a blur. And number 1's going to go by like a blur too, because it's actually, I'm not actually going to be talking about it all that much. But you're probably learning, like, what the fuck, what could it be? There's so many to pick from. What could his number 1 be? Well, let's reveal that right now.
Christ, it's about time.
One.
Sonic Mania Plus. Sonic Mania Plus is an expanded version of Sonic Mania. It was released in July 2018, both physically and digitally for the Nintendo Switch, PS4, Xbox One consoles, and as a digital-only release on Steam for the PC. Sonic Mania itself is a side-scrolling platformer in the franchise which acts as a celebration of the Sonic series' 25th anniversary. Set in an alternate reality, the game follows Sonic the Hedgehog, Miles Tails Per Hour, and Knuckles as they try to keep Dr. Eggman and his hard-boiled heavies from harnessing a mysterious new energy source. The storyline of the game also ties into Sonic Forces, which is... This definitive edition adds two new characters to the game, Mighty the Armadillo and Ray the Flying Squirrel, as well as new game mode, Encore Mode, and expands the competition mode up to four players. Now, Sonic Mania was developed by Christian Whitehead, who had previously worked on enhanced ports of early Sonic games with the aid of Headcanon and Pagoda West games, who were chosen for their work in the Sonic fan game community and was published by Sega. This is literally like a fan-made game. I mean, it is. It's a fan-made game. It's a classic Sonic tribute, a love letter to the 2D games in the franchise. This is just further evidence that sometimes fans can make better games than the actual developers and that work for, you know, the publisher. It's crazy to think that one of the best Sonic games was basically made by somebody that just loved Sonic the Hedgehog outside of Sega. It feels familiar, but fresh at the same time. It takes everything you love from all the other 2D entries while removing its shortcomings. The Encore mode takes the classic levels and gives them a beautiful pixel overhaul, along with adding sometimes visually appealing backgrounds. One of the most polished of Sonic titles in visuals, gameplay, control, soundtrack, you name it. This is the definitive, classic, but recent 2D Sonic game. The definitive edition of Sonic Mania, Sonic Mania Plus, is just the best of all time. It really is. As far as the 2D goes, it is. I was going to say until Frontiers comes out, but that's a completely different type of Sonic game. And I have a lot of high hopes for Sonic Frontiers. I probably shouldn't have that high of hopes, but I do. I'm probably going to be disappointed. I don't know. I probably should just calm down and whatever about it. But as far as the 2D Sonic games, if you already played Sonic Mania, I upgraded to the Plus. I got Sonic Mania Plus, and it was damn well worth it, just playing with the extra characters and having the extra modes. And I'm telling you, Sonic Mania Plus is just definitive Sonic, and that's why it's number one on my list today. So that's going to do it already. Thanks for joining me on this blue blur of an episode of the Retro Rings podcast today. And as I stated earlier, yeah, I'm kind of like, I decided that since I was revisiting some Sonic titles, in recent weeks that I was going to keep playing at least some Sega titles. So in playing some Sega titles, the next episode is actually going to be, with a caveat, it's going to be the 7 best Sega Genesis games that are not Sonic the Hedgehog games. So Sonic the Hedgehog games will not be included on the list. It's everything else outside of Sonic because, I mean, really, all three of those Sonic games would probably be on my list, which would just be dumb to do. So, because then you're left with 4 other games. I might as well just do all other games outside of the Sonic series. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Retro Rings Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining me today as I kind of just whiffed right through this, having COVID with just some very minor symptoms. I don't feel 100% great, you know, but I feel good. Like, if I would have never got tested, I would never think that I have it. So I'm going to go and disinfect my microphone just because it does hang out in the open. Actually, everybody else in this house already had COVID, so what the fuck does it matter? Like, they're not going to get it again within a month of having it. So PotationRotation.com, that's where you're going to find everything. Links for all the YouTube channels. That's where you're also going to find information on the Good for Nothing podcast, social media links, merchandise link, all that good stuff. PotationRotation.com. For all your potation rotation needs. I'm Paul. I'm wrapping it up. I'll see you guys later. Thanks for coming along. Oh, and if you want to battle me on anything I said today, email me at potationrotation@gmail.com. That's going to do it. See you guys later. Bye.